Our discourse title is Roaring Lion. I think lion is the animal which we all know. And not long time ago, there was also the movie Lion the King. In the scriptures, we have examples of lions. And I would like to take a look first at the lion. What kind of animal is it? Well, what do we know about lions? I'm not an expert in that field, but I know that lion roars. And sometimes we know how that roar is terrifying. We know also that there might be one lion in certain territory. We know that if there is two, they will fight. The one lion has to win to be a king of his family and his territory. The other has to walk away or will be killed. The lion is also considered a king of animals. Brave, strong, very wise, and fighting for his territory and his family. And lion doesn't fight little bit. Lion will fight to the end. If he wins, he stays. If he loses, he has to die or at least live by himself, not often wounded. But once they are fighting, they're often wounded. If they're wounded, they're even fighting even more. But I think that one of the biggest attributes of lions in our eyes is that the lion is the king. Let's take a look right now at the symbolic of lions in the scriptures. Is it just one symbolic of lion in there? No. There are two how opposite symbols of lions. But we know that the lion is symbolizing the master. But why it symbolizes two masters? We mentioned lion is a symbol of a king. And we know that both lions are fighting against each other. In Revelation 5th chapter and 5th verse, we read, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the lion that is the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the book and the seven seals thereof." I think we all know that this lion here represents our Lord, the symbol of the king. And we all know, I will jump a little bit ahead, which lion will win. If we look at the lions in the Bible, we remember that David, as a boy, he was protecting his flock. And he was not afraid of the lion. He was just fighting them with bare hands. What a great example. In the 1 Peter 5th chapter, 8 and 9 verse, we read about the lion, another lion, which we may put this verse as our theme scripture. 1 Peter 5th chapter and 8th verse. "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom if it stands steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world." How the different scripture, have a different description here. The same lion as the animal, but representing the devil, the Satan. So we can see that that lion is our enemy. Since we are soldiers, we are on the war, we have to know our enemy. If we look at the battles, at the wars, the very important thing at the war is know your enemy. Who is it? And how to fight him? So we also have to be aware who is our enemy and what kind of fights he is preparing to fight us. We have to get to know his strategies, who we are fighting against. We have to educate ourselves to win the most serious war against whom we will fight. We have to get prepared. So, how did it happen? What's the beginning of all of this? We have to go back in time quite a bit. In Ezekiel, we'll read from 28 chapter from verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre and say up to him, thus says the Lord Jehovah, thou sealest up in the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and onyx, and the jasper, and sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabards, and thy pipes was in thee. And the day that thou wast created, they were prepared. That was the anointed cherub in covereth, and I set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that was created, till unrighteousness was found in thee. By the abundance of thy traffic, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore have I cast thee as profane out of the mountains of God, and I have destroyed thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I have cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings that they might behold thee. We all know what description is it. What happened? He was perfect. Yet he decided to rise against the God. We have to be aware of that. What kind of enemy is it? Often in some movies or some pictures, people are picturing devil as a not wise creature. Remember where he was, and remember how clever he is. We have to be aware of that. He was perfect in beauty. Yet, in his heart, he would like to be even with God. Another description is in Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah said, how did it happen and why? 14th chapter from verse 12 to 15 we read, how are the fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? And thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above stars of God, and I will sit upon the mountain of congregation in the uttermost part of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost part of the pit. Lack of humbleness. Lack of being humble and desire of be like God. Very bad condition of heart. Brethren, from those scriptures we can tell that it is possible to rise against the God. That was beginning of the war. How do we know about it? Revelation 12 chapter and 7th verse says, and there was war in heaven. That's how it started. The war in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil, and the Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angel was cast down with him. The battle. If we are talking about battle, there must be a war. We hear about wars in this country or that country. We remember two world wars, first and the second war. And we know that the war is together put together through the fights, through the battles. We had an opportunity to hear Brother Obi telling us, where are those battlefields? They are in our minds. We know that one battle doesn't mean that the war is lost or the war is over. There is many battles. And we know that this battle, this war, is the longest war in the history of the world. It started then in Eden, or even before, when the Satan decided to race against the God. And we know that this war will come to the end. And of course, we know who will win it. One of the battles started in the Garden of Eden. Satan knew that he is not able to do it all himself. He needed help. He needed others. He deceived Eve, and also some angels were going also with his way. That battle in Eden was won by Satan. You will not die. Just you can eat this and be like God. Let's all be like God. Just let's go. Go my way. That's what Satan was saying. And his lie is in the ears of angels and people since then. He couldn't do himself. He needed men and angels. Since then, the degradation of the world was great. Everything was going down very fast. Remember, it has to be flood to stop it. We know that God is in power. He is allowing for certain things. However, he will extend his hand and stop it. And that's how he stopped that degradation during the flood. We also have another example. There was a man who lived a very good life. Everything was good for him. His family, his flock, everything was going well. We know his name. His name was Job. I don't know how did it happen and how it looked like. However, we have a scripture that the Satan asked for permission to test Job. And once we go through the whole book of Job, we know what was the end. He resisted Satan. He fought him back. And Job won. Although his wife and friends were telling him, just say wrong things, say bad things to God and die. You have suffered too much. And he said, no. He was fighting to the end. And the outcome, which all people and angels looked at that fight, looked at that battle, they noticed man can win the battle with Satan. He resists him. What a great example for us. Brethren, many of you remember times of war. War is not fun. War is not pleasant. It is a serious fight. And the war we are at, we know, it's between our ears, as Brother Obi said. It's in our minds. We don't have to kill anyone. This is the war which we are fighting in our hearts. We have examples of Apostle Paul that we also have a race. There is one difference, though. This is not a race like we have sometimes running people where just the first one is getting the prize. This is kind of race to see how did you fight. And if win, everybody is getting the reward. We are at war. We are as soldiers. We are brothers in arms. We have one fight, and we have one leader. We are not fighting by ourselves. And we know who is our leader. Our Lord will never forsake us, and He will lead us through that fight to the victory. We just gained 3 new soldiers a week ago. We have 3 new brothers in arms. In Prince Albert, we all witnessed the consecration of 2 sisters and 1 brother. Why it's called consecration? Is it something we are going on to have a better lives? People are looking how they can easy their lives on a daily basis. Yet, some of those look at the Lord and they would like to follow Him. Narrow way, steep, uphill, sometimes difficult to find. Is it easy? No, it's not. Brothers in arms. We often are using brethren or brethren in Christ, which is very appropriate. But we have to think about it that we are also brothers in arms in our daily fights. Brethren, we all know how war looks like. Sometimes in the battle, we will notice a brother or sister is wounded. Some of us are strong. Some of us has a good understanding. Some of us don't have right now difficulties and trials they are going through. Don't forget about those who are wounded. And I know many of you, many of us are strong. Many of us are wounded. Some of us have a serious wounds. I'm sure those of you in older age may remember, or younger ones, they may watch the movies, how brother in arm is taking another one very seriously wounded and helping him out. Nobody is left behind. That's the rule. Those who are strongest, don't run to the front line to finish off your race, because this is not the rule. The rule is we have to help each other. We have to help those who are wounded. Some of those wounds, they will be hurting long time. They may open from time to time. And we are here to help other fellow soldiers, our brothers in arms, extend our arm and help them to go forward together. Yet, very often, we may get also strength from those who are wounded. Nobody is left behind. We have to remember, once we are fighting, not to hurt our brother in arm, our sisters, our brethren. We have to be careful. We have lots of power. We have also our sword in our hand. We have to fight it the way to fight the devil, to fight the Satan. And once we are fighting him, we have to make sure that we'll not hurt our fellow soldiers, our brothers in arms. Our roaring lion, we know that he tries very often to get inside of us, between us, and fight us from inside. We remember that he was perfect. He was up on the mountain of God. We have to be aware, not underestimate his power. But we have lots of encouragements and scriptures from our Lord that he will help us. We know who is our leader and we should not be afraid. We have another battle which we have written in the New Testament. These are temptations of our Lord. And do we know when it was happening? It was right after his consecration, right after he decided to fulfill the will of his Father. In Matthew 4 chapter from the verse 1 we read, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into wilderness to be tempted of devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward hungered, and the tempter came and said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou art Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto them, Again it is written, Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. Again the devil taken him up on the exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaved him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What a great example of how we should fight. First of all, in order to use that sword, we have to know it. We have to know how to fight, when to pull it out and use it is written. The most dangerous is when Satan is showing himself as an angel of light. He didn't lie directly. He was quoting scriptures, showing our Lord easy way to fulfill the mission. In John 2nd chapter and 15 and 16 verse we read, Do not love the world, none things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Bread. Our Lord was hungry. Was it anything wrong with it to feed yourself? He knew he has to fulfill his mission. Yet, we know that our Lord did not use God's power for the earthly needs. Another example, the temple. The lust of the eyes. Show them all that you are the Messiah. Show them now. Get the glory. Didn't you come here to be a Messiah? Didn't you come here to help them? Show them. Show yourself as a Messiah. Our Lord also replied with the scriptures, You will not tempt your God. Third one. I think one of the most sophisticated ones. Satan showed the kingdoms of the world at their whole glory. And what happened then? It's not the Father, but it is of the world. Satan, in other words, says, Get everything now. Do you really have to suffer? I'll give it all to you with no suffering. You want a kingdom here? Okay, I'll give it to you. Just bow unto me. Just let me be above you, and I'll give all the kingdoms of the world. And this time, our Lord said to Satan, with a strong response. He said, Go away. Get thee hence, Satan. Our response to the temptation of Satan must be strong. We cannot say, oh, no, maybe not this time. This time I win. I can resist it. If we'll say this time, so how about the next time? We are leaving the open door for Satan to tempt us again. Our response must be strong. Go away. Get thee hence. This is written in Matthew 4, chapter 10 and 11 verse. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship thy Lord, thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And what happened then? Did Satan try something else? No. 11 verse is saying, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Strong and definite answer. We have to be aware. Do not get into discussions, polemics with him. Remember, we are dealing with the serious opponent. After temptation, what is happening then? Then, lion start roaring to scare you. What other techniques Satan is using? Let's get back to lion. Lion is called the king of animals not just because of it, because he has ability and his character like this. Lion sometimes is walking very quietly next to you, is watching and looking, observing us, looking for the ways to attack, estimating. We are not the only ones who are making the plans in this war. Satan is making his plan as well, thinking of the strategy, how can he strike us? He is looking at our weak points. He knows that he has to make an attack to our weakest point. He knows that it might be just the only run to attack his enemy, attack us. Then he roars. I was thinking to bring up here right now the sound of roaring lion, but I thought it might be too terrifying. I think, brethren, all of you were either in the zoo or were watching the movies, how terrifying roar of the lions can be. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may he devour. He is walking around Lord's people, looking where is the weak point. Because he knows once church completed, that's his end. Yet he will be fighting till the end. Roars. Is producing the fear. Once we hear the terrible roar of the lion, we are terrified. Roar, not being worthy to walk on the narrow way. You decided to walk after the Lord? Well, I'm not sure if I should. I don't know. The fear of not able to fulfill it. Yet, we have a promise that the Lord will help us. Then roar, not be able to fulfill our consecration. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. Yet remember, brethren, we have our brothers in arms. They are here to help, not only because of the duty, just because the love which is between brethren and the love which our Lord show us how we supposed to love each other. Fear and roar be left out by our Lord. What if I will be walking and all of a sudden the Lord will be busy with something else? We all know the story about the footprints on the sand. Like once man look back at his life, he saw two footprints. One was his and one was the Lord. And he noticed that in one part of his life, he saw just one footprint. And he asked the Lord, "Lord, why did you leave me? I needed you so much in that experience." And what was the answer? "That was me carrying you through all that experiences." Roar of earthly needs. Fear. Roar about our work, about our school. Roar of being afraid what's going to happen with our retirement. Afraid and roar about our car, our house, our payments, accidents, winter, summer, cold, hot, tornadoes, tsunami, earthquakes, economy. Should I continue? How much fear is out there? And how sometimes the roar is coming at us as well. We should remember who is our leader in our war, in our fight. Through the fear, through this roaring, it's taking away our time and drawing away us from our Lord. That's His tool. We should pray for His peace and in our hearts. His peace, this is big importance in our consecration. In Philippians 4th chapter and 4th verse, we read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Jesus Christ." Shall guard your hearts and your thoughts. We remember the examples which Brother Peter gave us a week ago. Change my thoughts. The prayer. And the prayer for peace in our heart. Not just regular peace, but the peace which is passeth all understanding. People cannot understand why brethren so often are behaving so peaceful in such a critical situation. Not long time ago, we heard the news about the end of the world. Not long time ago, we heard another terrifying news. Yet, His peace is letting us through. And the peace is also His gift. We should pray for it, to have His peace in our hearts. Peace which is passeth all understanding. The roar is taking away trust to the Lord. The fear is taking away that we are trusting the Lord will help us out. It's terrible. I cannot see how it can happen. Yet, the Lord will help us out. We also trusting maps once we are going somewhere. We'll unfold the map and we have never been around. Yet, we are trusting we'll get there. Or in the modern world, we are using the GPS. Wherever an arrow points us, we will go. And we'll trust that we'll get there. Sometimes we are traveling at night. Yet, how much we see? We see just a few meters ahead. Yet, we are trusting the road will be there. And we will get there. We should trust our Lord like this. "I will never forsake thee." He will carry us through all those difficulties. Once we are going to war, we should also put up our armor. We shouldn't go without it. Of course, we remember David, which it was too heavy for him. Yet we are required to wear the armor. To fight against Satan, we need more than our bare hands. In Ephesians 6 chapter from verse 10, we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness and in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with taking up the shield of faith, whereof ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Having girded your loins with truth." How important is it? If we have to fight such a great enemy, we have to have truth. The truth is very important. We have to know it. We have to know who we trust. We cannot go blind. Breastplate of righteousness. And shod your feet with gospel of peace. Righteousness and peace. Shield of faith and helmet of salvation. What all those parts of the armor have in common? They are all for us to guard us. The truth, breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with gospel of peace, and shield of faith. How important. And the helmet of salvation. The last one is the sword. Sword of the Spirit. Word of God. This is the only part of the armor to strike and fight back. But we have to be careful how we are using it. It's supposed to strike against Satan, not against our brethren, not against our brothers in arms. This is also the part of the armor which we can guard ourselves. This is the word of God. "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." This is how important our studies, how important is that we know the scriptures. In conclusion, I would like to remind the lion, the one who is roaring, the one who is trying to scare us, take away the Lord's love, take away the trust, and scare us. The war. We are at the war. We are part of the biggest war, and we have very important part to do. We have to fight to the end. We have temptations, and we know how to fight them. For this is written. That's how we should fight it back. Roars. And this big roar of being afraid. we should know that our lion is the lion who will win, and the armor, being armed and being alert all the time. In Joshua 1st chapter and 6th verse, we have words of encouragement that he will help us. He will help us. And we read 1st chapter 6th verse, be strong and of good courage. In Philippians 3rd chapter and 10th verse, we read that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Our leader has the power of the resurrection, such a huge power, which is helping us as well with the same power. His power is with us. If he is with us, who can be against us? In Psalm 127, 4th and 5th verse, we read, this is the example and explanation why we sometimes have to go through all those difficulties. Psalm 127, verse 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hands of warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies in the gate. We should be one of those arrows. We should strive to be able to be as example. And our Lord is leading us through those difficulties, because in the future he will pull out with this arrow and will say, see, one of my people went through all of this, and he fight the Satan, and he won. In 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and 8 verse, it is written that we have to be sure and certain. We cannot be wavy. It says, for the if trumpet give the uncertain voice, who shall prepare himself to war? The voice has to be certain. Not, oh, maybe, oh, yes, my Lord, maybe a little bit later. It has to be certain. We have to be sure. We know who our Lord is. We know his power. And we know we will win. I would like to conclude with words of encouragement. I would like to conclude with reminding that we are all brothers in arms, and we have to help each other. Remember about those wounded. They need our help. They need our phone call. They need our emails. They need to talk, and they need encouragements. They need the scriptures. It is written. Let's help them out. Sure, loud, and firm shout. That's how it's supposed to be, encouraging one another. I would like to end with that shout. Sure, loud, and firm. Onward, Christian soldiers. Thank you.